Good. You're all awake. So everybody is very quiet. So there's always things that you want to do, and then you think, yes, I don't have time for it, and my things doesn't work out. And often we say, yeah, I wanted to do this and this and this. Or you look back at your life and say, yes, if I just had more time. If I just had more time, then there were so many things that I wanted to do. And even now with our accountability, there's a lot of sermons about that, and in our small groups we will share basically how we do the spiritual disciplines, what we do, talk about it. But I want to go further and say we must also talk about just what we do with our time. Say, if someone has to look at our lives and what we spend our time on, they must be able to get an idea of our value system. They must actually see that you're serious about God or church, or you try to read your Bible or every day, or just what you're doing with your life. Or are you just a soccer or a rugby or a cricket fanatic? When I was still a software developer, I was following Crick Info and Supersport.com very closely. So then I realized after a while it's actually wasting a lot of my time. But it was fortunate. My boss always asked me how long it's going to take, what you do. So then if you must think, okay, say Tuesday. Then another thing comes and you say, okay, I'll finish that on Friday. And that was fine for us, and it was sufficient. The work always got done. But now I just remember, well, it's probably God is telling me, you're wasting a lot of time. Just always wanted to know the score, always wanted to know they're playing test cricket, is it in the middle of the night or the day or whenever. Crick Info is running here in the background and it's updating me, and I'll stop everything for Crick Info. That's just a website about cricket, for those of you who don't know. It's not a cricket or something. So, and for each of us, there's stuff that we have that you will leave everything else, but you don't want to leave that thing, or you just want to do that. And I realized that even at intercession, a lot of cell phones are just on silent, and in the middle of a prayer, someone will just quickly check something, and they send the SMS, they put it away. And that's the world where we live in. So many things demands our time. So many stuff, or it's Facebook, where you won't go through a day without checking up on Facebook. For some of you, it will actually be like fasting to go, say, 2 weeks without, 2 days without Facebook. That would be a miracle. So, that is where we live in. And I just want to read two verses, Job 7, verse 6, where Job is saying, my days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle and come to the end without hope. Or my days are swifter than a runner. They flee away. They see no good. So he's just talking about my days are going so quickly. Things are just coming and going. Often we think that, no, I've got my whole life in front of me and there's still many years to come and I'm just enjoying now. I just do what I want to do now. But then if we look at Moses wrote a psalm, Psalm 90. I'll read it just now. But just for some background, we all know he was in Egypt, trained in the palace, everything going very well, until one day he decided he wanted to sort out some Egyptians, and he walked up to them and he killed a couple, and obviously he had to run for his life because he was not happy with how they treated the Israelites. Okay, so now Moses is there in the desert for 40 years. I think he was probably very comfortable after a couple of years, looking after his father-in-law's sheep, all going well, everybody forgot about the things he did. And he's actually pretty comfortable. Just every day, die skapies kom en gaan maak, sit daar onder die boom. So nothing really majors. And just looking after the sheep. And that's almost how it was with me at my, when I was still a software developer. everything just got better and better and comfortable. I went to work, no real challenges after a while. You get better at what you do. You just enjoy. There's no real faith that you must put out to. In the beginning, I was trusting God for everything. Man, I would just pray it. All the software, the stuff running on the tills at Woolworths, that I think just prayer that keeping that stuff together. But praise God, it's still running. So there were days where I just prayed, and then you'd get the thought, and you put it the code in there, and everything started to work. And I said, praise the Lord. Then your boss will ask, what did you do? You say, oh, you must my go check. It's working. So, but the point is, I got more comfortable, and you almost just get into a motion of life, not thinking that there's any urgency to do certain things. Life is just, it's just good. Okay, and I just want to, and I almost forgot the context of our lives. So at this point, I just want to read Psalm 90 for us, and then you'll better understand what I mean. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever, you had formed the earth and the world. From everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You return man to dust and say, return, O children of man. For 1,000 years in your sight are but as yesterday, when it is past, or as a watch in the night. You sweep them away as with a flood. They are like a dream, like grass that is renewed in the morning. In the morning it flourishes and is renewed. In the evening it fades and withers. So Moses is trying to get us to understand the context of our life in the bigger scheme of things. Where when God looks at it, it's like, it's short. It's very short. 1,000 years are like a day, like a watch in the night. So it's only a few hours. So it's 1,000 years, it's only a few hours. Then say, we all get to 100, all very healthy, and you're doing all the vitality stuff. And so then it's very short. It's like a glimpse, and it's gone. And I think that is just what Moses is trying to say. He was also looking back at his life, all the years in the palace, very well, then in the desert, and just going on with life. Until he had this burning bush experience. And he said yes to God. And he went and he took the Israelites out of Egypt. So now he's writing this and he's giving us a good context. Because sometimes, I remember, yes, that was probably in Standard 8. You know, one day I came home and I just said, what's the point of everything? What's the point? What's the point of going to school and all this stuff? It's just, I don't want to do it anymore. And my dad is here. He just said, Yaku, you're not allowed to ask those questions. You must focus. But sometimes we just lose track of life. The reason why we're here, the reason what you do. And we just, we also ask, what's the point of everything? And we, last year at, some of you have heard it, when I did the church planting training, shofar, at Stellenbosch. So they just invited some of us there, and we got the paper. So this is now, I'm now a software developer, 4 years already, same job. I'm pretty comfortable. And so we got our paper, and Pastor Sia said, just go spend half an hour with the Lord, then you fill in the paper, and you come back, and you give it to us, and then we'll continue with the rest of the day. And I checked the first question is, where do you see yourself in ministry, full-time or part-time? Just that. And there's no, like, why or what, just full-time, part-time. Thought, oh, man, I don't want to answer that. So I went, And I just sat there outside Oudemolen. And I just started praying, and the Lord just reminded me of words that I got many years ago. And then I actually, I just realized that this is my place. Each one of us, we've got a place where we must, you've got your place where you must be. And that's the right place where you will just do things with the Lord. My place is in the ministry. So last year, November, at this training, I was sitting there outside Oude Molen, and I didn't want to accept the fact that this is my place. I was sitting there, I was just crying. Then I must come back and hand in the forms, and we pray together. I just told the guys, I don't want to speak to anyone. Things are not great. I'm just crying. Lee, my wife, she's asking, what's happening? What is going on? I said, I can't talk. It's this. Basically, I was just counting the cost. I just realized that I can't go on with my life. What I was doing up to then, that's not what I must do. For other people, that is what they must do. But I knew that was not what I must do, and I must change something. And so that's why I'm here today, to cut the long story short. Now, after that, we started praying, and just praying about it, and God just did a thing in our hearts and prepared us, and we basically just got ready. Basically just saying, Lord, not my desires and what I want to do, your will in my life. That was the main thing, where I had to submit my dreams and everything I want to do, submit it under God's will for my life. And in the beginning I thought, yo, it's such a difficult thing, and I just want to hold on to my Creek Info updates at Transaction Junction. Because I love sitting there with my earphones and nobody's talking to me and I'm just programming. And then when you want to make a noise, you take off and you walk through the office and you chat to everybody. And it's just nice. Things are just easy. And it's flexible and you go home when you want to and things like that. And I just realized, but I knew that I will not stay there for a long time. Like, I knew that was not my place. I enjoyed it there. And I thank God for helping me through that. But I knew that I couldn't stay there forever. So obviously now, Lee and I, we were praying and going through all of this stuff. And until we got to a point where we just said, Lord, your will in my life. We just surrendered. And probably a month after that, Pastor Ross, we just discussed, and it happened that I got into the office here at Tigerberg, and I was involved with Delft, and things were happening there. So I'm now pastoring the church there. But before that, God settled everything in my heart. It was like when Jesus walked next to the sea and he asked the disciples, leave your stuff, come, follow me, follow me. When Ross was there at my office that day, I just said, I'm ready. I can just put everything. I just had to resign. I don't like resigning. I don't know about you, but I never like it. I've done it now 3 times in my life. And it's not nice. But in any case, that was just an add-on. So, now that I'm here, it's actually, I just feel I can do everything I want to do. Everything that God has placed in me, I can use everything. Everything just starts to make sense. And you just got peace where I'm at. And there's still lots of challenges and every day, but it's fine. I just running with God. And that's the same for you guys. There's a place for each one of you where basically you're just in the will of God for your life, and then you just go, and God is just going to do amazing things through you. But we must get to that place. And for some of us, it's just a realization of what life is all about. It's very quick. And we must come to terms with the fact that we're not here forever. There's a lot of things to be done. And I was just thinking now when I watched that clip again, that sometimes we think, what can I do? What can I do tomorrow to make a difference? But even if you influence one person, you're making a difference. Just one. Where the big metro ministries in the Bronx, where it all started, Pastor Bill Wilson, If you read his story, his mother left him. I can't remember how old he was. But she left him in a park on the pavement. She just said to him, just sit here, I'll come back just now. He was sitting there for 3 days. Until someone just walked up to him and said, someone just said, can I help you? And they just took him in. And then they sent him on a church camp. And at the church camp, he said, nobody wanted to talk to him because he still had the same clothes that he had on the street. So he stinks and everything. So nobody wanted to pray for him. But at the camp, he met Jesus. And he realized that the love of Jesus is enough. Enough for him to get out of his circumstances. That's the only thing he had. For him, it was as if the people don't want him because he was sitting on the streets for 3 days. The Christians didn't want him because he was at the camp. Nobody wanted to pray for him because he stinks and everything. But he knew Jesus loves him. So the love of Jesus just transformed his whole life. And that's why I want to get the children to meet with Jesus. Because we can't always change all the circumstances, but we can do something just that someone can meet Jesus. Because that's life. That's life. Then they can actually handle their circumstances once they've met Jesus. So even tomorrow, we can just share a testimony. We can do something with someone around us. Just one person. And that's making a difference. Okay, let's get back to some time stuff. So, there's so many things in our lives that just taking up our time. There's all the just hobbies and TV and a lot of small things. And then we've got all the more bigger things like family, friends, our relationship with God, church stuff, other things. And that's more the important things. There's a saying that the priorities of your life determines the capacity of your life. Your priorities determines your capacity. Now, we've all seen, I think you've all seen the example of the glass jar, where the guy say, we've got all the things that's happening in your life, and you've got the just so not so important things. It's like sand. The rocks are the big things. So if you put the sand in and you put all the small stones and everything in, and now you start putting in the rocks, everything doesn't fit in this jar. Then I hope you follow me here. Usually it would help to have a picture, but I don't have pictures now. So if you take everything out and you just start putting the rocks in first, the important things, you prioritize. You put the rock, you put your family in, put God in, church in, all the rocks fill this jar, then you throw in the small stones and all the other stuff that you're doing. Then you're throwing the sand, just click in for updates and all the other nonsense. And it will filter through until everything fits in the glass jar, because you started with the big things first. But if you do it the other way around, then you get to a point and you say, there's not enough time. There's not enough time to have my quiet time or to read Bible, but it is not enough time. Because when you got home, you first watched TV or Seven the Lawn or whatever, and you spend time on Facebook, and you do all other things, and then later when you want to get to more important things, then you're running out of time. That's why they say priorities of your life determines your capacity, determines how much you can do. And even in our culture, there's just so many stuff. Everybody wants to send you a newsletter, and they want you to read their blog, and they want you to comment and be a friend and thingy and this and this and this and this, lots of stuff. And if you're like me, there's a lot of stuff in your head. When I have quiet time, then I think about Delft and stuff that I want to do there and other things. And the last 2 weeks, God is just telling me, just come to me. And just spend time with me. I just want quality time. I don't want to know all the stuff and the other things. I just want to spend time with you. Quality time. I'm just speaking with the Lord. And I know that my most precious times with the Lord is when I climb a mountain. When I take my Bible and just walk up a mountain and you just go. And you're just talking. And suddenly you get a thought. God is telling me something. And there's just no other things. But I don't want to ask a lot of stuff. I don't want to figure something out. I'm just spending time with the Lord. That's my most precious time. But as we get busier and busier, those things tend to be shifted out all the time. So what's the Bible saying about prioritizing? Psalm 63 verse 1. The Psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judah. He said, "Oh God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land." Now seek, we don't see the word prioritize in the Bible, but we see seek, seek, seek. That is almost like prioritize. It's important. You just do that first. You see God. Psalm 119 verse 10. "With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments." With your whole heart. For me that's just saying with everything, we just focus on seeking God first. Proverbs 28 verse 5. "Evildoers do not understand what is right, but those who seek the Lord understand it fully." And then the one that we all know, Matthew 6:31-34. "Therefore do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, what shall we wear?" All very valid things. When I read that in Delft, for them that's life-changing stuff. When they come for prayer, we pray for work, we pray for food, we pray for that there will be enough. Some of them, it's survival mode. So, I say, for the Gentiles, seek, prioritize after all these things. It's always in the head. "And your Heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." So the question is, how will our lives be? How will it look if we live like we believe God knows everything that we need? He knows what we need and and we can leave it in His hands. So then, if you really believe that, will you first seek the kingdom of God? For some of us, we still have so many, there's so many worries, there's so many things that we want to sort out first and do this and this and this. And that's why the Bible is talking about food and drink and clothes, and it's very valid things. But it's almost like it's difficult, this is to trust God to provide for us. It's difficult to just seek first the kingdom of God and then not to worry about all the other things of life. And that was the same thing that was what was a problem for me when I was trying to be obedient to the Word of God for me. I was worrying about a lot of stuff. I was working it through and praying it through until I just came to a point of surrendering to God. So that is something that we must do, just to put God first in everything that we do. And something that I read, three things about the things that we do. Listen to this. "There's a cumulative value to investing small amount of time in certain activities over a long period." Okay, I'll read it again. "There's a cumulative value to investing small amount of time in certain activities over a long period." Basically, it's just saying this. You want to Say I want to ride the epic mountain bike race. I once had a couple of years ago, someone phoned me and said, Yaku, I've got a place for you on the epic. Now that's you can talk to Nico about the epic. It's very tough. It's like 100 and something kilometers for 8 days straight. So, okay, this is just the extra that I'm sharing now. So then I told Lee, man, I can go do the epic. Just someone is now, there's an extra, the guy got injured or something. I just wanted to go do it. She said, no, you don't do it. You didn't exercise. I said, I just want to see. What if I manage to finish this thing? Then it would be massive without doing all the exercise and everything. I said, it would be amazing. Cecilia said, no. So I didn't do it. I listened. But that's why our men, we try to do stuff and don't worry so much about the consequences. But in any case, this point, the cumulative value to investing small amount of time in certain activities, that is every day, like now the accountability stuff. You read your Bible every day. Every day, a little bit, for a long period of time, there's a big value in doing it. But what we do is, you'll read the Bible today, tomorrow you think, ugh, I don't want to read it. There's no real consequences, immediate consequences from not doing it. The next day you read again, then you read it, don't read it, then you read it again, and it fades away. But at the end of a long period, there's a big consequence. There's a price that we're paying for what we did every day, all these small little bits. And the same with exercise. Everybody's telling you discovery, vitality, 5 times a week, 30 minutes. That's a very good principle. And you will be fit and healthy. But we think summer is coming up and you must look good. So you're going to spend 2 hours in the gym on Monday. And you're just going to go for it. And then the next couple of days, you just finish. You can't lift up your arms. So then you do, I'm speaking from experience here, it's very painful. So, and then again you want to do a big thing in the gym for another couple of hours after you now managed to get through all the pain for a week. And in the end, there's no real value. Where if you do a little bit of exercise every day for a long period of time, someday you will walk into the office and someone will say, wow, see, there's something happening in your life. Yeah. You're looking good. And that's what we're talking about. We don't realize all the little bits. We don't realize that that's actually adding up and there's a value in doing the constant reading Bible, praying, all this, the disciplines. We don't realize the value of doing it. At the same, the other side is also true, the neglect. If we neglect doing these things, if you neglect to exercise all your disciplines or everything, then there's also a reward that you're going to get for not doing it consistently over a long period of time. The bad thing is that we don't realize sometimes you can't go back and fix it. If we're irresponsible with our money, and you're irresponsible with your money every day for a long period of time, you might get to a point that you have no money left. And then it's very hard to go back and to fix it. Sometimes there's a point of no return where you must basically start over. And this was just an eye-opener for me. It's now the three things. The first one was a little bit every day. There's a big value in doing it. Then not doing something, there's also a reward that you're going to get for that. And then the other thing is all the other stuff that you do. All that surfing on the internet and getting sport updates. All of that, if you add it all together over a consistent period, at the end of the time, there's no value. There's no reward. There's just nothing. So basically, I've just wasted a lot of my time with all these other stuff. And to procrastinate, it's not really a discipline. It's very easy to. For some of us, it's the discipline. It doesn't take effort. It's so easy not to do something. It's just, you just don't do anything. It's easy, and that's the problem. It's so easy to do nothing, so easy to procrastinate. But we don't realize, we don't take stock. And this is what God is talking to me about, of just taking stock about my time. First, the big things, the big rocks. Put them in, prioritize. Then make an effort with the things that are important to do it consistently. If I want to exercise or get fit, then I must make a point of doing a consistent thing a few days a week, and then there will be a reward. If I don't do it, then there also something is going to happen. There's going to be consequences. And that's what we must realize. So all the things, when we go to the time management books, they will show you the next slide where things that are important and urgent, things that are important but not so urgent, just urgent but not important. There's a lot of those at home. And neither important nor urgent. So what we usually do, we take that second one. Important. Okay, obviously we do important and urgent, we do it. That's very important and it's very urgent. So we do that. That's fine. But important and not urgent, that is the one that's giving us problems. The project that must be finished on Monday. So no, I don't have to work on it now. I'll just leave it for the weekend. So now it's important, but it's not urgent. Now the weekend comes, suddenly that thing is moving into number one. Important and it's urgent. So now a lot of things are shifting out of the way, because this thing that was important, not urgent, is suddenly very urgent. So now you're working through the night and you're just doing everything, must just make way for this thing. And then suddenly say, wow, I don't have enough time. Where's my time? I don't have time for all this stuff. And now I was actually going to church on Sunday. Oh, no, 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 it's not going to happen. And you just boom, 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 boom. You hand in your project and you go to bed and you sleep the rest of the day. And that's what we do. So we don't realize, it all comes back to prioritizing, knowing what is important. And for me, that's the same. It's the same for me. I must look at the things important, but not urgent. And that must be priority. Because you don't want that to get to important and urgent and you still, where you still didn't do anything. So the question is, when someone look at our lives, what we're doing with our time, what we're spending time on, what will they say? What will they say? Will they say that, will they see, well, they will get a good idea of our values, of what's important. In Exodus 18, when Moses' father-in-law, Jethro, came to visit him, it's almost like taking your father-in-law to work. That's what Moses did. And he was there in his office, and all the people come, and he's talking to all the people, and his father-in-law was just looking at all of this. And then he's saying, I'm just picking it up there in the middle somewhere. The next day, Moses sat to judge the people, and the people stood around Moses from morning till evening. When Moses' father-in-law saw all that he was doing for the people, he said, what is this that you are doing for the people? Why do you sit alone, and all the people stand around you from morning till evening? And Moses explained to him what he's doing. The people are coming to inquire of God when they have a dispute. So Moses was handling everything. And then Moses' father-in-law said to him, what you are doing is not good. You and the people with you will certainly wear yourself out, for the thing is too heavy for you. You are not able to do it alone. So Moses listened to the voice of his father-in-law and did all that he had said. Some of us, we don't listen to our father-in-laws. Anyway, the important thing is, we need to, when we're accountable, this is the whole accountability stuff. We must also look at us, when each other, what we're doing with our time, what's happening. And in the same way, Maybe some of us will tell a friend, listen, what are you doing with your time? What are you doing? Because God wants to do big things for us. There's never Brian Tracy, a popular time management expert, he wrote a book, Eat That Frog. I didn't read the book. But there's a quote. He said, there's never enough time to do everything, but there's always enough time to do the most important things. So never enough time for everything, but enough time for the most important things. And that's basically what I just want to share with you tonight. Where we prioritize and we think how God is seeing life and everything is so short. It's just moving quickly. Then we must take stock of what are the real important things, what we must do. And from there, prioritize, putting that first. And then also there will be enough time for everything that we must do. And we won't say all the time, I can't do this, I can't do that, I can't do that. There's just not enough time. In Ephesians 5, verse 15 to 17, it is said, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Be very careful. So careful, you must think through it and consider what you're doing, how you live, making the most of every opportunity, redeem your time, and then understand what the will of the Lord is. Do something, spend time with God, try to find just the right things to do, and not to waste. Else we're just going to waste a lot of time and a lot of our lives away. And then in Ecclesiastes, Solomon wrote, in the beginning he must start out and everything is meaningless and this is meaningless. Everything is just meaningless. And he goes on and on and on. And at the end of the matter, so all has been heard. Fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every deed into judgment with every secret thing, whether good or evil. God will bring everything into judgment. So basically, we must just start. That's what God is telling me. I must look at my life and assess everything and align it. Doing the right stuff. Doing the important things. Doing it consistently. And the trick is I often think about, we hear all these sermons and then we go through the week and then we get to the next Sunday, we go through the week and at the end, there's not really much that changed. Because we just keep on doing the same things. Somehow we think if you do the same thing over and over, something different will happen. I don't know. But, so for me, that's the only thing that I just want to do something different. Because then I know the outcome will be different. That's it. We must just look at what we're doing and then decide, listen, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to spend this, say, like now with the accountability thing and reading the word. Then you just get home, then you read the word. Make it a priority. Do it first, before other things. Do it consistently for a long period of time. Making an urgency of those things. Do it different. Then the outcome will be different. Then you'll get to a time, there's people now that they don't spend time to work. They think every now and then they can just pray or read a bit of Bible. And after a while, you realize they tell you, well, God is just, I don't know. God is not speaking to me anymore. But that is just the consequences of your lifestyle. It's like you're not seeking God. So we must shift the focus. Because I'm excited about you guys and everyone here tonight. And I know, well, God is much more excited about you. And he wants to do big things through us. And we must just start doing the important things first. Can we all stand, please? And sometimes self-preservation, you think that certain things are important because that is just what I must do to preserve my life. I must do this and I must provide for myself and I must figure all these things out, where we don't really give certain things over to God and just trust God and start walking by faith and start living right. Just want to ask the worship team to go up, please. So we're gonna worship a song or sing a song. Obviously, the first place where we must start, the first place is to make right with the Lord. That's number one. Just taking stock. If we don't have a relationship with God, that's number one. To make that right. So Lord, at this point, I've messed up. Things are just not working out. And I don't want it to go on like this. And then that is the place, that's the point where you must start. Where we pray with you and to just recommit your life again. And then there's counting the cost around that, where we can't go on just to live our life, just living life the same way. It's not good enough, and expecting a different result every time. So tonight, I really want to encourage you, when you go to small groups and to your friends and just talking, and just look at how you spend your time. That's what I'm also doing. Because we must go places. There's a lot to do in this life. And I'm not talking just about ministry stuff. I'm just business, opportunities, things to do. We must really take hands and work together to let the kingdom of God come on this earth. And this is my place, and you've got your place. But we must take hands, and it starts by getting our priorities right. And part of that is the disciplines and the accountability. That's part of it. Where we do those things consistently. Consistently. We help each other. We get it right. And we will be amazed what the outcome is going to be. And it's going to be amazing. Father God, Lord, we just stand in front of you tonight, Lord, and we just say, Lord, that we must basically repent, God, of this running after so many things, God, running and trying to figure out life and trying to make things happen and trying to provide for ourselves and thinking that everything resolves around us, that if we don't do it, it's not going to happen. Where we don't really live by faith, Lord. We just trust in our own abilities, in our own things. And Lord, your word says that we must seek first the kingdom of God. And we don't have to worry about all this stuff of life. But I pray, God, that tonight that you will help each one of us, Lord. You will just help us to get our priorities right, Lord. Just to be serious, Lord, with our relationship with you, to get it right, Lord. Because we look at our lives, God, and we realize that the value of what we've been doing for a long time, it's not so great. The reward is not so great. Because we've not been doing it right. My prayer is, Lord, that we can go from here, Lord, and just get our priorities right. Starting with spending time with you, reading the word every day. Just talk to the Lord, and maybe there's something specific on your heart that you're doing every day. Like for me, I realized that those Creek Info updates was really a problem, because I struggled to go through a couple of days without knowing the score of certain things. It was almost like an idol. I would stop many things before I go to bed. You just check quickly on the internet. Just want to know what's happening in the rugby, in the cricket, in the world. And it's a small thing, but that was something in my life. And I think there are more examples, more things in our lives that we're just holding on to. Maybe it's your seventh alarm. I don't know. In our house, we actually came to a point where we realized we don't have time for the TV anymore. That was just for us. I'm not saying all of you must stop watching TV, but that was a specific thing for us, and I really struggled with that. Lee switched it off immediately. I had to cut the cable and everything. It was a bit difficult just to stop watching. But each one of us, we've got different things that we hold on to. And that is just our priorities are not right, because we're prioritizing the wrong things. And tonight I just want you to spend time with the Lord and tell God, just be honest with the Lord about those things that you're putting in front of Him and seeking His kingdom.
everybody. First of all, in the first worship, I really saw a picture of someone standing inside a room, and there's one door open, and there's like a beautiful garden outside, but the room that they're standing in is like gray, and gray walls, and like just heavy. And I first of all thought that the message was for me, but I really have an urgency to share it with you guys. And it just says that it's in line with what he said and yielding to the Spirit, that you need to step out and you need to start proclaiming who God is in your life. And instead of just focusing on your problems and on maybe suffering from depression or spending like your worship and your time with God saying, God, I'm so depressed, help me, help me. Instead of saying that, just start worshiping God and do what we're doing right now and proclaim His victory over your life, and change will happen. So, yeah.
Hello guys. Okay, Asa just got a picture in the worship earlier of just like a church, and then there's a bride and the bridegroom, and Jesus is our bridegroom, and he's standing up front, and as the bride is entering the church and she's walking forward, she's constantly stopping at the people along the aisle and listening to what they're saying, or stopping at someone and doing something, and Jesus just says that he's standing and he's waiting at us and waiting for us, and we must just keep our eyes focused on him and walk the way and not just constantly stop at different places in the world and get distracted, but we must just focus on him and just take this walk with him because he's waiting for us.
Evening, you guys. Early in worship, in the first part that we worship, I really experienced God's presence. And I think this is relevant to all of us tonight. God really said to me, start living each day being grateful. Stop being fearful every day. Fearful of what you're not going to have, of what you possibly might not achieve that day. But start living in my grace. Start living by being grateful. I'm going in for an operation, quite a big operation, end of this month. And I was really fearful each day. I was like, God, what if they operate wrong? What if I'm going to die? I wasn't scared of dying, but I was just so fearful of what I would leave behind. And for the past 2 weeks, God really started speaking to me, saying, use my grace each day. Use the gratefulness that I supply to you each day. And show the other people around you how grateful you are for me being in your life. Show them how it is having me in your life. And stop being fearful, living each day in fear. So stop being fearful of each thing you start doing, or each thing you need to do, like writing an exam, going for an interview at a business, for a job or whatever. But start living a grateful life. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Amen. I just believe that there are still some of us, we must really do business with the Lord tonight, and we're going to play or sing another song. And then I want you guys to respond. Some of you, you're really struggling, you're holding on to things and you can't get rid of that thing. And it's holding on to you. And the breakthrough is going to come as you just confess or just tell someone about it. And then you will be able to focus again on the right things. So tonight is an opportunity for that to happen. And maybe you just need prayer. You just want to say to God that you're serious about seeking His kingdom. You're serious. You want to go places as the Lord, and you just want to pray with someone that we can just agree together, because you want to do something different, and the things can't go on as it is going now. Then we would love to pray with you. We're going to sing another song, and I just invite you to come and just enjoy the presence of the Lord. After this song, we will be ministering in the front, and then if you feel that you must go, you can go away, a coffee or tea, but just respect what is happening. I mean.